All right, James 1:2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. So today's message will be about dealing with hardships or adversity. The last few messages that I've done were about getting to know our Lord and trusting Him completely. I can say with confidence that without knowing our Lord, there is no way we can trust Him. We need to be able to trust Him in all things and situations, but that requires a deep understanding of who our Father is. Without this understanding, the enemy will be able to attack you and mask the truth. You know, people generally, if you ask them, will tell you whether or not they believe in God. We need to be able to tell the world why we choose to believe and who our Lord is to us. Not all of us are scientists who can prove there has to be a God due to this, this, and this. Like, our faith in Him gives us that opportunity to be saved through His grace. Hardships come in many forms. It could be at work, a relationship, a death of a loved one, or even problems with our families. We all experience them daily. As God's children, He knows what we are going through and has prepared in advance outcomes that will be for the benefit of His children. We tend to rationalize hardships and take them on ourselves. A person trusting in the Lord reaches out to Him for help. As fellow believers, we also need to be available for those brothers and sisters who are going through those hardships. So Jacob, in the Bible, Jacob had many issues with family members, but God knew what he endured and always provided him with a way out and blessed him tremendously. Jacob relied on himself to try to get out of situations he thought he had control over, first with his brother Esau, then with his father-in-law Laban. Jacob was shrewd with his actions, but the Lord was in control of his life and allowed him to endure such hardships for a period of time before removing the obstacles in front of him. We see the Lord's watchful hand in all that Jacob went through. So when Jacob had left his father and mother in fear of Esau, he had a dream at Bethel. This was Jacob on a journey to his uncle Laban's house. So Genesis 28:10-22. Genesis 28:10-22. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached to a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until you have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? There is none other than the house of, or this is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top, called on that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food and eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of All that you give me, I will give you a tenth. This was the Lord revealing himself to Jacob on a personal level. That reveal was so strong, he made a pillar to the Lord and would give him a tenth of everything he had. He probably learned that from his grandfather Abraham or his father Isaac. We only tend to understand our relationship with the Lord when we decide to trust him. Everything else we thought we were doing is only what we saw others do, thus creating a religious practice. When our hearts are turned to what the Lord desires, our relationship with him grows also, and we start to understand his sovereignty in our own lives, and not just in others. Jacob's craftiness or intelligence got him so far. God's plan for him was far bigger and more complicated than Jacob could even imagine. So Genesis 31, 10 through 13. Genesis 31, 10 through 13. In breeding season, I once had a dream in which I looked up and saw the male goats mating with the flock were streaked, speckled, or spotted. The angel of God said to me in the dream, "Jacob," I answered, "here I am." And he said, "Look up, look up and see that all the male goats mating with the flocks are streaked, speckled, or spotted, for I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar, and where you made a vow to me. Now leave this land at once and go back to your native land." So Jacob, he had exhausted his stay with Laban and had fulfilled God's purpose to exalt him over his brother Esau. On his way back to Canaan, he had to pass his brother, so he devised a plan to pacify him with gifts. This had to have been a stressful time for Jacob, not knowing what he was going to encounter with his brother Esau. He started conjuring up all kinds of plans because he was scared. Jacob then decided to pray to the Lord. His prayer was very specific, and he told the Lord what was on his mind. Genesis 32, 9 through 12. Genesis 32, 9 through 12. Then Jacob prayed, "O God of my father Abraham, the God of my father Isaac, O Lord who said to me, 'Go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper,' I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two groups. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me also, and also mothers with their children. But you have said, 'I will surely make you prosper, and I will make your descendants like the sands of the sea, which cannot be counted.'" So he was scared, but understood God's faithfulness through his past actions. Jacob was a man of action. He was a hard worker and expected results from his hard work. Even after his prayer to the Lord, he devised a plan on how he would meet his brother. He sent gift upon gift upon gift to Esau so that he would find favor with him. God had already answered him before he left Laban's house, but still pursued his scheming, even though he didn't have to. Genesis 32, 22 to 31. Genesis 32, 22 to 31. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When he saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that the hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." Jacob replied, "I will not let you go until you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel." "Because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called that place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face." And yet, my life was spared. The sun rose above as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. So we don't need to wrestle with God to get his attention. His eyes are constantly upon us, yet some of us, including myself, do this all the time. How many times does God need to prove himself that he loves us more than we love ourselves? He will come through for us in hardships, but in his time. This does not mean our relationship with him stops until he answers our prayers. This can and will be the best part of our relationship with him. Our Lord taking us by his hand in the valley of the shadow of death. Our confidence in him grows and grows when we choose to rely on him in these times of troubles and needs. To others, our situation seems dire, but for someone in love with the Lord, it's confidence in him to take us through our troubled path. We have God's answers just like Jacob did. Yet we still struggle and wrestle sometimes and it is hurt. So Hebrews 13:6. So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid." And Jeremiah 17:7. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. And then 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Jacob's story is there for us to ponder and consider. The Lord upheld all his promises to Jacob and blessed him greatly. When we consider other hardships of saints of the Bible had to endure, we consider Paul. He spent roughly 5.5 years in prison. Like, why would God allow this to happen? For one, we wouldn't have Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, or Philemon. I couldn't imagine the Bible without Ephesians. Sometimes God puts us in places to slow us down and reflect upon him. Other times, it's because someone else needs us. 16:16-38. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you on the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled, he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews. They are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison was shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we are all here." The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, fell trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we were Roman citizens, and they threw us into prison. And now they want to get rid of us quietly? No, let them come themselves and escort us out." The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and encouraged them. Then they left. So if Paul and Silas hadn't been to prison, the guard and his whole family wouldn't have been saved. See, Paul's ministry was to the Gentiles. That story told by the jailer would have reached many people. Hardships are only for a period of time, and our Lord has equipped us with everything we need, including the Holy Spirit, guiding us along the way. Our confidence is in Him with or without struggles, because we have access to God through our Lord Jesus. Spending time with our Lord gives us that confidence we need to be close to Him and trust Him in all things. James 1:4, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any one of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. So trusting in the Lord starts with our heart. If there is something wrong with our heart, that perseverance in the Lord tells us to inquire of the Lord to fix it. Ask Him to help you deal with the obstacles surrounding your situation. God did, or Jacob did, and the Lord took care of his problems. Isaiah 41:10-13. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will help you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, "Do not fear, I will help you." And to conclude, Hebrews 12:2-3. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so you will not grow weary and lose heart.
All the things. Thank you. 22.
Tuesday night Bible study on Zoom, same time, sometimes different places. So I also note here that no women's meeting on Wednesday. And Wednesday night prayer meeting. Are there any other announcements? We have Music Sunday today. Everybody's welcome. Birthdays. Today is Maureen Eastfold and Peyton Chilano. Tomorrow is Jennifer Rond and Sophia Pavente. Tuesday is Jordan Anderson. Wednesday is Peggy Taylor. Thursday is Josh Carney. And Friday, Robert McDonald. And next Sunday is Karen Hartman. Okay. We're just going to have him sing solo then. And anniversaries next Sunday is Joe and Sheridan Trelawney. Oh, so what do you think? And I recognize everybody, but I don't recognize you.
Sarah?
Sarah?
It's been a few years.
Okay. Okay, well.
A legally friend from Sacramento.
Okay. Nice to meet you again, I guess. Thank you. Welcome. Today's benediction, I got a note here for Isaiah 55, 10 through 11, which is, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bare and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and the bread of the ear, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it."